This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
They've got Sundquist set up at the opposite circle. Across to Gunnarsson, and he scores! The Blues win it in overtime and have evened the series. He scores!
Love it. Little mashup there. Yeah. Doc Emmerich on the call, NBC Sports Network, and then just the end of Chris Kerber. And we listen to it again in the break as he called Carl Gunnarsson, Boom Boom Gunnarsson, which is a great nickname, I feel like, for either a WWE wrestler, maybe a boxer, or a gangsta from the Prohibition
like
era.
Like an Al Capone captain or something like that. Yes. Yeah.
Boom, boom, Gunny. On that note, and by the way, this is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Charlie Marlowe, Brian Hoffman, Lucas Jones on the board, filling in for Frank Cusimano, who is in transit back to St. Louis
from
Boston.
Might be joining in about 5 minutes.
Okay. So Frank should be joining us very soon here. And let's see here. In terms of hockey vocabulary, the Imperial Impaler says, Charlie, we need to update your hockey vocabulary. Clap bombs, muffins, sauce, chirps, dusters, Geno's, apples, dirty dangles, and top cheddar. I would also be interested in your celly. So if I scored a goal in my celebration, and I was just kind of thinking, and maybe it's because Boom Boom Gunny, Boom Boom Gunnarsson, Hoffman, as you said, it reminds you of someone with a Tommy gun. With the zoot suit on, with the pinstripes.
Uh-huh.
So maybe after you
shooting
score the goal.
Shooting at someone's Model T or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. Maybe you take the hockey stick kind of like a Tommy gun. And what if you did one of these? Now, hold on. You can't do this in the Stanley Cup Final. Actually, you should probably never do this at all in the NHL. But you could do a bunch of jerks, Carolina Hurricane-style celly with the stick as your Tommy gun, and you could kind of shoot your teammates, and they would all fall down. I have a feeling that probably wouldn't go over well. It'd be kind of like, remember when Prince Fielder jumped on home plate and all of his teammates kind of fell down?
That's right.
It was
a
spring training game.
That was cool.
It was cool.
They did that during the regular season, too.
And then I think there was some baseballs thrown at people after that.
Be fun.
Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Brian Hoffman, Lucas Jones. Talking Cardinals baseball at 1120 with the commish, Rick Hummel from the Post-Dispatch. Frank joining us pretty soon here. Continue to get your text in on the text line, 855-282-8255. Stephen Wildwood says, we tilted the ice last night. Let's see. As a lifelong Blues fan, I still can't help but wait for the other shoe to drop. Won't breathe a 45-year sigh of relief until the final horn goes off. I'm wondering if he means last night or just overall with the Blues having to win three more games here.
Sounds like he was anticipating a Boston Bruins goal in that overtime period.
Well, on that note, though, and we discussed it earlier, in rewatching the overtime period, how dominant the Blues were, Tim Van Gelder texting in from the 636, guys, I just broke down the zone time in OT.
What the heck?
Boston was in the Blues zone for a total of 36 seconds. The Blues were in the Bruins zone for a total of 2 minutes and 47 seconds, including stretches of 32 seconds, a buck 11 and 43 seconds leading up to the Gunnarsson goal. So
that's how you win.
There you go right there. I mean, close to 4 minutes of overtime played, and the Bruins had the puck for a total of 36 seconds.
That's dominating.
That was domination by the Blues in the extra session.
By the way, Unfrozen Caveman Stepdad wants to know the source of the good to see you, Carl joke that was happening in that video. It's from, I believe, a Billy Madison reference.
Hey, Carl, good to see you.
I think it's referring to Billy Madison. It's my joke.
Yeah, I didn't get
that's
that one.
Assumption.
And that's why I didn't read it, but I'm glad we had some clarification there. 484, we got to check that area code. Not getting enough love, Pareko. He calmly diffuses any intense situation. Total stud.
Pennsylvania
484 there.
Look at our signals all the way out to Pennsylvania, Chuck.
Daddy Padre. Bringing up, not something negative, but it's fair. Daddy Padre, who of course is the Blues, is he the fourth
emergency
string goalie?
I think
Tyler
he's technically
Stewart?
Third.
Well, you have Billy Husso, right?
That's right. That's
so Daddy Padre is the fourth string goalie for the Blues. Sonny going to be suspended, which sucks. You have to think, Oscar Sundquist will probably be suspended for that hit with the fact there is a hearing. Watching that, and look, David Backus said after the game, that's the type of hit they're trying to get out of the league. But also, when Sonny makes that hit, you have the skater slipping, which caused the hit to look worse and was worse than I think the intent was. However, I do think that Sundquist will be suspended. If you just kind of look at the history of the NHL and the fact it was only a two-minute penalty, I think we're going to see Oscar Sundquist probably suspended for one game here moving forward in the Stanley Cup final. Absolutely. All right, let's head out to the phone lines and talk it over with the host of this program, the Hollywood Casino Press Box, Frank Cusimano, joining us from, is it the Charlotte airport you're at, Frank?
Absolutely. It's part of Channel 5's See America plan, where we get to see a little bit of America on our way back to Seattle.
You know what? I've had layovers in Charlotte several times for whatever reason. I feel like every time you go to Atlanta, you're always in Charlotte. And they have a really good barbecue spot there in one of the spots in the Charlotte airport. I don't know if you have time to eat.
We are, in fact, as Tom Stasiak just reminded me, you know, the station's still paying, so let's have some lunch.
All right, well, let's go ahead.
I do have one quick story here before we're going to get going. All right, I know you have your phones and laptops in front of you right now, your iPads. I want you right now to Google the name Amy Wershing. Amy Wershing. W-E-R-S-C-H-I-N-G. Amy Wershing. Take a look at her. You'll recognize her. She's been in quite a few television shows and movies. Do you guys see a picture of her?
Yeah.
She has red hair. You recognize her a little bit? Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
So here's the story. So as I told Brian, I think I told you, Chuck, my new fascination is a TV show called Bosch.
Okay.
And it's about a detective who's just like the coolest cat in the world. The only enjoyment I've gotten, I love the, you know, going to the games and everything, but when everything's done, as Chuck knows, deadline's over, you just want to go back and watch your show. So I usually get back to the room about 12 o'clock. I'm so excited to watch Bosch. She plays this dynamic, sexy love interest of Bosch, okay? All right, so get back to the room last night. It's about 12:30, and I sent out a couple of tweets, blues-related. And all of a sudden, somebody retweets, and it's Amy Wershing. I'm thinking, wait, this is probably a bogus account, but she's retweeting my two blues tweets. So I tweet at her, and I said, are you really Amy Wershing? She goes, yeah, I'm a big blues fan. And I said, I'm watching you right now on my iPad. And she goes, oh, my goodness. She goes, I was just watching the Blues game. I'm a huge fan, so I was responding to your tweets. And so we responded like back and forth like three or four times. She couldn't have been nicer. And we find out she's from St. Louis. She went to Crossroads High School. And even though she lives in L.A. as an actress, she just loves the Blues. It was the craziest thing ever.
That's awesome. I had not heard of this woman, and I'm now Google Images, which, as you said, she's a very attractive 42-year-old young lady, and she's from St. Louis, and she competed in Irish dance and belonged to the St. Louis Celtic step dancers back in the day.
Yeah, happily married, mother of three, and just a passionate blues fan. So, Brian, I'm gonna text or tweet at her a little bit later. We'll get her on the program.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
That is fantastic. All right, Frank, great story there, and just an unbelievable story last night. Now, look, we were discussing this earlier. This has to be. I mean, it's the biggest win in 52 years of the Blues franchise history. And Boom Boom Gunnarsson, as Chris Kerber called him, now has, right, the biggest goal in Blues franchise history.
Yeah, it's a great stat line. Three goals this season and then one overtime game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup. It's typical. Guys that score three goals always do this. It was so amazing. I don't know if did you hear Berube's quote about that?
Now, was it about the urinal or was it about Gunnarsson overall? Yes, both.
And Berube actually used the word pisser. He said, I saw him in the pisser, and he said, I wanted one more chance. So, and you know, I think, Brian, I'm not sure what Blues guest we had on, or maybe it was just a conversation off the air, but I talked to a Blues official recently. And I said, you know, with as young as this team is and as good as everybody's playing, Who in the world is not going to be asked back next year? Won't this be the exact same roster? And the first response I got was, well, I don't think Gunnarsson's going to be back. He's 32 and he's a free agent. And now he's the author of the biggest goal in Blues history.
So, Frank, just give us a perspective, a pulse. I mean, what was the dressing room like last night? I'm just kind of watching the post game. And, again, obviously the guys are very excited, but all playoffs long, these guys know. I mean, the Stanley Cup is the goal. It's great to win one game, but, I mean, there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there is. But the thing that's really amazing, Charlie and Brian, is that there was a time right after game one where I think some of us, certainly I thought this, I wonder if the Bruins have a level the Blues simply can't get to. You know, they've won eight in a row. They outscored the opposition 32-11, and they just destroyed the Blues in the second and third periods. Well, last night, you're thinking after that game, you know what? This Blues team is going to win this series. I mean, that was dominating. I had a friend that was keeping this stat, and he said that they had possession in the Blues end for 37 seconds in overtime. I mean, that's total domination.
Frank, it's kind of funny, you know, it's a 1-1 series, and we've discussed, you know, Maroon's play. Gunnarsson's goal, obviously a big part of it. Tarasenko has 10 points in his last 8 games, and it just seems like there's an old line where Joe Maddon told Dexter Fowler, when you go, we go. It kind of seems like with Tarasenko, it's following that same pattern. When he's playing at his best, so is the rest of the team.
Boy, that is really a good point. Good question. Good thought.
Thank you.
Put Brian down.
Thank you.
Bring him there. When your best player is at his best, Monique is asking one receipt or two receipts. One receipt. I'm going to pay for yours. Monique, by the way.
Monique went on the trip?
Monique, her sister lives in Boston.
So oh, nice.
She flew up there with us, and then we had one dinner with her. That's all I've seen her. But she's on the flight back with us. Yes, Monique, Channel 5 is paying for your meal, too. I hope nobody's listening back home. The thing about Tarasenko is, I don't know if you saw that little sequence that NBC put together, but the collision he had, you know, the passing he had, he was as active as we've seen him. You know, Brian, I remember when we had Joe Micheletti on early in the San Jose series, and he said, you know what, Kenny Albert and I weren't saying his name. He wasn't involved at all. And last night, best player on the ice, I think, for the Blues overall. And there was that one stretch where he left the game and he left the bench, went to the locker room, and everybody was really concerned about it. And he came back and he didn't skip a beat.
Frank, what was it like there at the Garden when that goal happens? And did the place go silent? But also some of the players were saying they could hear the little patches of Blues fans starting to cheer and chant LGB.
Yeah, it was really crazy, Charlie, because immediately it turned into the country's largest morgue. Deadly silence. And then about 45 seconds later, while everybody was in a state of shock, you hear this chant, I'd say from about 120 people, let's go Blues, let's go Blues. And it was just like surreal in this building hearing that 120 people or so. I saw a couple of people on our flight, and they said, yeah, we thought it was about 75. Everybody thought it was about 100, but it was crazy in this building, packed, and all of a sudden, all you're hearing is, let's go Blues. And the players were conscious of that, too. It was wild.
We're talking with Frank Cusumano live from the Charlotte airport as he's exhausting his Channel 5 expense report here at a nice barbecue spot, I'm sure, in the greater Charlotte area. After watching that game last night, and you kind of alluded to it, but I think when you watched game one, you just wondered, man, are the Bruins just way better than the Blues? And seeing how the Blues got to their game in game two, it's hard for me to think this series won't go at least six now, because both these teams, when they're playing really, really well, and we haven't seen a game yet that was really even, but I'm wondering if watching last night and being there, has it changed your perspective at all on who will win the series or how long this thing may go?
Well, yeah, I think you're right about it's going to be a longer series, because we've seen Boston get to a level the Blues couldn't get to. Now we've seen the Blues get to a level that Boston can't get to. I think the most fascinating angle is the fact that that first line, as they tried to label it at one time in the series, the perfection line, was non-existent last night. I mean, non-existent. And I asked Pat Maroon about that, and he said, well, I didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, it was our defenseman and our checking line. But Truck and Bryant, if you can control that line, they don't trot out four lines. They're not that deep. You control that line, you win this series. There's no doubt about it.
Frank, how about the mid-game turnaround of Jordan Binnington? Kind of a rough first period. Two goals allowed, not at least one of them probably he should have saved, but then from that point on, stopping every shot his way.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that there was a stretch there where you're starting to think, well, maybe, you know, you're tugging on Superman's cape and maybe, you know, there's finally a dent in his armor. And even though the Bruins didn't have a lot of chances, they did have some great chances that, you know, could have given them the victory in regulation, and he came up big. So, yeah, nothing he does surprises me.
All right, Frank, we'll let you go and enjoy your fantastic meal there and on your way back to St. Louis for what should be just a crazy Saturday night at Enterprise Center for Game 3.
One of the greatest nights in sports coming up Saturday. You're right, Chuck. Thanks, Brian. Great to hear your voices. Take care.
All right, that's Frank Cusimano, the host of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, as myself, Charlie Marlowe, Brian Hoffman, Lucas Jones fill in for Frank up until 12 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. Any sponsors we want to mention first, Hoffsy?
Well, we have the Maryville University listener line, Chuck, which is what Francis was just on. Visit maryville.edu for more information. Each student is equipped with a tablet that includes a large number of their books, which, of course, simplifies the process of buying a $90 book and getting like $8 back at the end of the semester.
That's the worst.
Wasn't that fun? Don't you miss those days?
Oh, I spent $130 on a book written by the professor. Imagine that. And it's the only time that book is ever purchased. And oh, here's $2.50 when you take it back at the end of the year after probably not reading it.
We also have
thanks, Mom and Dad.
Thanks, books. We also have Hollywood Casino out there in Maryland Heights. I'm sure 99 Hops House was rocking last night during the Blues game. That's the place to be for Saturday night's contest as well if you can't make it to the Enterprise Center. And Dr. Michael Jones, 1-855-260-EYES. He board-certified ophthalmologist, also assistant professor at St. Louis University, 1-855-260-EYES. Dr. Michael Jones, part of the Quantum Vision Center's family.
Quick break. Get your text in, 855-282-8255. On the note, we will read them after the break on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.